Merry Christmas, bitches!
Apparently, the Christmas season is upon us, and that's true because I saw The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. So we started playing Christmas songs at home. We are, as a family, we're Christmas obsessed.
Really,
we're the most pro Christmas non-Christian family in America.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, we had that at the house. My mom's Christian, my dad's Jewish, but we had my dad put on the reel to reel. Like Disney Christmas album on the hi-fi.
You know why? Because your dad's an American.
American.
That's right.
Like there's Jews for Jesus. That's weird. But like the Jews who celebrate Christmas, they're like.
No, that makes sense.
It's a more fun experience.
Yeah, Jews for Christmas. Tons of sense. Okay. Weirdly agnostics for Christmas also makes sense. I say weirdly because I left religion. Wendy was like, nah, like there's a whole, it's like a billion people out there who don't have a religion and nobody knows about them because they're in China.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so that I remember when I ran into a friend in college who was Chinese and I said, okay, what's your religious background? She's like, none. I'm like, yeah, I know, but what is it? Like, I get it. It's cute. You're agnostic, you're atheist, whatever. But what did you grow up? She's like, no, I grew up none. Oh, so your parents were atheists. No, they weren't atheists, just no religion. And I'm like, whoa, that's trippy, right?
What is that?
Right. And it's partly because of Mao, our dear leader.
Mm-hmm.
But partly because there was no giant religion in China to begin with. They were obviously Buddhism, but that came from India. And Confucian principles are different. And there's Taoism. So anyway, but that's more a philosophy than a religion. People have perverted it into a religion, but so it's fascinating stuff. But anyways, so Stanley died today. So here's a curveball. So I interviewed Stanley, free T-shirt to the first member to find it. No, I don't know, guys. I don't know if you can find it, and I'm not going to give away free T-shirts because that'll get super complicated. Okay, but it's probably out there somewhere, probably in TYT interviews. So the fun part of the story is not him dying, which was a shame.
Mm-hmm.
What movie did I just see him in? Oh, Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I just watched Black Panther.
He's in every Marvel movie.
Yeah,
makes a cameo.
Yeah. So, but it was a little jarring. I'm like, oh, okay, we're in a movie. There's Stanley, I got you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? Anyway, no, it's a fun story. I was at a diner and I'm like, that's Stan Lee. That was like about 10 years ago.
Okay.
And I went up to him. I'm like, hey, Stan Lee, how you doing? Does anybody ever call him Stan or like everybody
Mr.
always-
Mr. Lee.
Mr. Lee, everybody calls him Stan Lee, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, and so I'm like, Mr. Stan Lee or whatever, I do a radio show, nobody listens to it, but would you like to come on? And he's like, yeah, sure.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Just like that?
Yeah, and I'm like, sorry to bother you doing that. He's like, no problem at all, where do you do it? I'll see you. Okay, so he came, I forget if he came in and called in, but I think he called in. Anyway, yeah, he's like, yeah, happy to do it, no problem. And so we interviewed Stan Lee. What's great about living in LA.
Have you ever had any experience with someone that was that easy to just approach them and get them to do your radio show?
He might've been the easiest.
Yeah.
But no, there's been other guys who are easy. Do you remember Joe E. Tata from the Peach Pit in Beverly Hills 90210?
I know, yeah.
The actor, his name is Joe E. Tata. Okay.
Really? The guy who ran the Peach Pit.
Yeah. Can't be Tata. Am I messing this up because of Colonel Tata?
Tata? Tata.
Anyway.
I feel like that's the phase of interview we're at for Happy Half Hour.
So
no, who do we have? We have Kate Flannery from The Office coming up.
Oh, that's awesome. You crazy? So anyway, I ran into him at a bar and I was like, hey, you're the guy from Peach Pit on 90210. He's like, He's like, "Why? I am. Thank you for recognizing." Okay. And I'm like, "I got a radio show. You want to come on it?" He's like, "Yeah, whatevs." Okay. And that was back when we were in my living room. He's our first celebrity guest ever.
Wow. Okay.
And he walked into the living room and he's like, "Oh, this is your living room."
Yeah, this right? wasn't a joke.
Right.
Like the Peach Pit wasn't a real restaurant.
Right. But he told great stories. Ben and I interviewed him. So that was like literally 15, 16 years ago. Okay. And they shot 90210 in Chatsworth. And I was like, "Damn. Oh, so you ever run into porn stars?" He's like, "Hold." So it turns out they shot 90210 next to a porn studio. And every once in a while, the grunts from the other side would get so loud, the moaning, that they would literally have to stop shooting because you could hear on camera like, "Oh, Brandon, what are you up today?"
Brenda. Ooh.
Right. So it was a fun interview.
That's, yeah, I played baseball at the Chatsworth Junior Baseball League. And you would just be like at the supermarket and there would be Ron Jeremy.
That's another guy I ran into.
And when you see, I've run into Ron Jeremy randomly a bunch of times. He's at everything. But like,
and he wants to be recognized.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if you live in the Valley, if you live in the West Valley specifically, first of all, you should wear a mask because it's on fire. But if you live in the West Valley, if you saw at the time, if you saw like a van parked outside a house and the front board windows were boarded up, they were probably shooting a porno in there.
Wow.
And I remember when I was in high school, we got like some, I think we might have told this part of this story on some old school or something. But we got someone hacked, like our neighbor hacked into the satellite box. So we got all the channels and I watched the adult channels and I was like, it was like one of those where there's a van and they open it up and everyone gets inside and there was a shot out of the van at the person opening the door. And I'm like, that's by the Topanga exit. that's where they shot Mbop. Like that's that parking lot on Mason and Devonshire.
Yeah. That's that wholesome moment in your life when you realize that your neighborhood is used for porn shoots.
So true. It's right. It's the Valley. So, when you interviewed Stanley, what was it like? Do you remember the interview itself?
No. No recollection whatsoever.
All right.
He's a wonderful guy. We had a great interview. I don't remember any of it.
I feel like I was thinking, because he's been in every Marvel movie so far, I bet they could, with all like the CGI they use, they could just still put him in every Marvel movie.
Oh, you know what we should do? We should find that, Aaron should find that interview. Good, I got more work for him.
That's what Aaron needs, is more stuff to do.
Yeah, and he should repost it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Get some views, get some lookbacks.
Yeah, that's cool. Oh my God, if we start posting all the interviews that I did of people who died, we're gonna be busy.
Really?
Yeah, no. I was just talking to Ben the other day about Gore Vidal. I interviewed him right before he died.
It's a kiss of death, TMT. And
Rodney King, a couple of weeks before he died. Andrew Breitbart, a couple of weeks before he died.
I remember that.
Stan Lee, a decade before he died.
It'll get you.
get you eventually.
Everyone who gets interviewed on the Young Turks, with a few exceptions, ends up eventually dying before the end of time.
Yeah, well, look, buyer beware.
Okay. So, do you have anything else you want to talk about on the old?
I do. So I'm done with Stan Lee, but since we're on the topic of movies, good transition to Grinch Who Stole Christmas. Mm-hmm. So, no spoiler or spoiler alert or whatever, but he steals Christmas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's not the interesting part. A little bit of a spoiler here, if you've never read Dr. Seuss. So the town forgives him, okay? And
what did it say? It's a Grim Reaper interviewer.
Oh. pause on the Grinch story to talk about the synapse control room, okay? Because I got a list of the things that people named all the stuff here for on the previous campaigns. Mm-hmm. So, you know, DJ Padilla named camera 4, and it's technically DJ Dizzle camera.
Nice.
Okay, and I remember a lot of them, but I forgot a couple of them, right? I ran into, by the way, Adam Westbrook in the street. Speaking of people you run into in LA, He did this desk, and it's the triptych desk, okay? Triptych desk, which is kind of trippy, literally. Yep. And so I've run into Ron, Jeremy, Stanley, and Adam Westbrook in the streets of LA. So he's like, hey, Jake, how you doing? I'm Adam Westbrook. I'm like, oh, cool, yeah, what's up? He's like, I did the desk, triptych desk. I'm like, oh, that's awesome! That's awesome, okay. Anyway, the one I have to confess I forgot was the Synapse control room, which is the control room. And so from now on, I'm gonna say there's insanity in the Synapse control room tonight.
Okay. There's insanity in the control room tonight.
So that was Savannah Cooper, who was legendary in the last drive. She did the control room, she did one of the cameras, she did everything. So thank you, Savannah.
Thanks, Savannah.
So, and the Synapse control room is the one fucking with me right now with these titles, okay?
Yep.
Okay.
There's insanity in the control room tonight.
Grim Reaper, or no, Grinch.
So now, Republicans, think about the Grinch for a second, okay? He's a foreigner who invades the town. He's a different color, and he steals everything, okay? Oh, for it's their members.
Wow.
So they're members.
What difference is in the control room tonight?
So, like this, if in case you're listening and not watching, the Synapse control room put tyt.com/Ann under me, okay? But like,
really, they,
but they can
it,
only
right?
do
T-Y-T.
Gifts T-Y-T. Or upgrades.
Brett.
So, yeah, Brett, you're in, right?
I'm in.
Okay.
There's people on Twitter who say they're signing up, but I don't know how to check
the
results.
I have the list.
I don't know if that's true. Either way, I like the
I'm gonna. You think I'm not gonna be honest with you about anybody who signed up?
Am I even on that list? No, I'm not on that list. No. Not yet. That's an old list. Obviously, it's before I got all thousands.
Yeah, it's an old list from today. Okay.
That's a zero. That sounds like a zero.
TYT.com/Brett, even though, again, you're all numbers, so you can't.
And I'm claiming the Mary Guano one, my fraction of it, because I do the voice.
Oh, okay. That's fair. So, oh, come on. Okay.
There's insanity in the control room tonight.
Mine says tyt.com/John, which there isn't even a John who works here, so I don't know what that even means. Oh, there is. And we ran the tyt.com/John when you were on the damage report on election day.
Okay, yeah. That's what you get. Okay. Yep.
Full circle.
Are you guys gonna let me finish a story tonight?
Yeah, is the Grinch. He's a foreigner. He comes in, he's got different color skin.
Yeah. And he steals everything. But the town forgives him. Do Republicans who watch The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, do they get that they're on the wrong side of that story? Like, they would have hung him up to dry. I mean, they would have imprisoned him. They put him in a detention center. They would have, I mean, I don't know what else they would have done to him. He stole Christmas. He stole every Christmas present in town, right?
I did a video when we were doing those Facebook Lives, or was it just, it was just a Facebook original about Beauty and the Beast, when people were boycotting Beauty and the Beast for having a gay character. And it was like, you guys don't understand the point of that whole movie. The point of the beloved movie, which you loved and you think they're ruining by adding a gay character, is love the person that you wanna love. And at that point, you're not the good guy in that story. You're the villagers with the pitchforks running around trying to kill the beast. It's just so ridiculous, especially with things like that, where people get so upset about like the way you're perverting a beloved tale, when the moral of all those tales is typically be a good person.
Yeah, that's what I wonder. I wonder if any of them watch it and go, goddamn town idiots. They should have hung that guy up to teach people a lesson not to steal around Christmas. Okay, there's a whole caravan of those Grinches coming.
It's a story of redemption.
Right?
And no matter how much you think they're an evil Grinch, there is some humanity in the core of everybody.
Right. Or are they like, oh yeah, that's great, man. Now foreigners with different color skin coming in. Now you should always forgive them. What? Right?
So weird.
Like, I don't know. I don't know how they think. But they're so detached from logic and reason and facts that I don't know how to decipher them anymore.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they even know why they hate liberal Hollywood, right? But the reality is, maybe the propaganda people that started that in the first place were like, oh no, we should get them to hate liberal Hollywood because all the movies end with the good guys winning and we're not the good guys.
It's weird. I think it, and I try to like do the benefit of the doubt. I talked to a guy who was in the military and he said, listen, none of my buddies from the military would want to work for Trump, but it's like, we still voted for him, but like we wouldn't want to work for him kind of stuff. And it's, I'm like trying to find that element where people are being honest and not just like blindly following. But I don't know. I don't know what really drives folks. I forgot what I was talking about. I've been up since 3 o'clock.
Okay, that's true. All right, so now the politics story a little bit. Okay, oh, I have it here. So here's good news. So the bad news was that under Obama, we lost 1,000 seats throughout the country at the local level. So it's actually about 1,080 when you include local and national. Local is just under 1,000. Off the top of my head, about 975 seats or so that we lost in Obama's 8 years. And so that was an epic disaster. Well, good news that not a lot of people are talking about. We just won 250 of them back.
Cool.
Okay. Now it's a good start. You know me, I'd like to win 2,000 of them back.
Way to go, okay. Soros.
So you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
Finally.
But that guy's an outsider from a different place.
He's trying to steal Hanukkah.
Wait for it. Right. By the way, I mean so now that I think about it, that's one of their themes, is the liberals who stole Christmas.
Yeah.
Right? War on Christmas.
Oh, that's what it is. I think when it comes down to that stuff with the movies, it's they just want a happy ending. They just want to see it. They don't want to, it's just like the shut up and dribble. They're like, stay out of my politics and everything. They love the movies. They build their lives around the movie. They go to movies by liberal Hollywood on Christmas, like with their family, like the day after Christmas on with their families to go see Lord of the Rings from liberal Hollywood. But they can't put together that like so much of your culture is based on this. And so much of the culture that we export imperialistically as part of the like, you know, hearts and minds strategy is Hollywood's portrayal. It's the Elvis, it's all that stuff. But when it comes down to it, they don't want to hear it, and they don't want to think about it too much.
Yeah. No, I get that they think that they're the good guys in the movie, but they're not.
They're not.
Just watch the movies.
Villagers with pitchforks.
Yeah, it's against all the things they stand for. Anyway, we won back 250 seats, so that's super good news. And we won back 4.6% of all the state house seats in the country. Now that's an okay number. We lost 3.9% in 2014. We lost 10.7% in 2010. That was a bloodbath politically at the local level. We won back 7 state legislative chambers. So that's huge. They had 69 out of 99. But they won back Alaska's House. So we improved 6 there. So now they only have 63 out of the 100 state houses. Okay, so we're coming for you. And the good news is that most of the states that will determine gerrymandering and redistricting in 2020 now have Democratic governors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big pickups. That's the kind of stuff that I don't know if it gets communicated enough, the importance of it. But was a net 6 pickups of governorships, state houses? Or governorships?
Yeah, net 6, I believe, right now, yes.
That's all, yeah, and then some are still up, but that is so important. And what's crazy is people don't know. And when that specific detail of like, in those states, it relies on the governor versus other states that rely on other things. That's great.
So there's 2 more things here. One is amazing and the other one is frustrating. The frustrating one is, if a state's approval rating of Trump, this is from the Washington Post, had dropped 10 percentage points, Republicans lost about 4.5% of their state house seats in that state. So if they drop 10, they should lose 10% of the. Now I know it's a little apples and oranges, but they turn out their voters so much better than Democrats do. It's so frustrating. And that's why we think that running progressives is the better idea, because they're more likely to excite and energize voters. But it's also really, really national, because people go in there and they do the top of the ticket, and a lot of people just check off the rest of the boxes based on the party. So you got to win at the national level for that to have an effect. And at the national level, we got no megaphone. We got nobody that's even 10% of Trump in terms of the spotlight and the message that he puts out there. Countering him, I mean, like Bernie's all across the country, but the media barely covers him. So we got no megaphone, and that's why the numbers should be bigger, but they're not.
But still a tangible improvement this year. Like on No Filter today, we covered, like, it was pretty blue wavy.
Yeah.
It was pretty blue. I mean, all the things people said were gonna happen. And I love, we played a clip of Trump saying, like, it was a big win for us. And he listed all the names of, like, all the people who didn't embrace him. And then we just listed all the people who did embrace him and lost.
Yeah.
And to take the House, that's a big step.
Yeah.
Those are committees that are gonna be chaired differently. Those are the potential, I know you covered this, but like the potential to pass laws that benefit America, like millions of Americans, and to get Trump on record as saying, and the Senate to say, no, we don't want those things for you. It's just gonna take somebody in the House to say, this is the agenda.
Yeah, this is something that I did not cover and I should have covered. 71% of the people that Trump backed lost. That's a pretty bad number, man. That's a really, really bad number.
Yeah.
So that he officially endorsed or sent a positive message on Twitter or rallied for them, right, et cetera.
The official endorsements, it was 36. But in terms of people that he went around and did events for and sent those positive messages, yeah. He said, I'm gonna go, if you want me, I'll do all my legwork for you, and it didn't work. And of course it didn't work. People don't like him.
Yeah.
And then John had a stat this morning that was like a huge percentage of people who wrote the tax cut lost.
Like, yeah, that we did. Yeah, okay, that we did on the show. Four lost, but 12 out of the 24 Republicans on the House Ways and Means Committee are gone. Because five of them ran for the Hills, four lost, and then others went on to other jobs.
Right, it's interesting to see those who saw the writing on the wall, those who got their tax cut are gonna go just live off of whatever benefits it kicks their ways down the line, Paul Ryan, and then they come and those aren't in the stats.
Yeah.
The ones that retired, essentially.
All right, last interesting fact is, in the old days, all the legislatures would be split. Not all of them, but a lot of them, right? So Rhode Island might have Democratic House and Senate, but Arkansas would have a Democratic House and a Republican Senate and on, Michigan, Ohio, everybody would be split, right? There's only one state left that is split. It's Minnesota. They have a legislature that's divided. One party controls the House, the other one the Senate. Every other state, well, Nebraska only has one legislature, so it's, I guess
so
they're
random.
Not split. But so I know it is really random. But 48 other states are all now like either Republican or Democrat. Done with diversity. We're all in our own camps and we're done with it.
Is that a result of ability to fully gerrymander? Like they got enough toeholds and just gerrymandered all of that out?
Yeah, that's a good point and probably some of it. But I just think we're a divided country.
It's tough. There was a thing I wanted on what's her name? The one that said that she would go to a public hanging today.
Oh, yes, Cindy
Hyde Smith.
In Mississippi.
Yeah, she was and there's all the weird realignments that ended up finally solidifying. She was a Democrat till 2010. That is not because she saw the light in the other party. It's because she could get the vote from individuals who voted Democrat because Lincoln was a Republican. Like that's how it happened. And finally, it took that long. And like all those states, like in To Kill a Mockingbird, they're talking about the sad, slow death of the old South. Like that was still alive until 2010, until 2004 in Georgia, they had Democratic governors. Don Siegelman was the last Democrat, I mean, he was an actual Democrat, but like they had Democratic governors in Alabama for a very much longer time than you would expect, and their state houses and all that stuff was Democratic, but it was the same people. They were voting along the lines of Republicans. They just didn't go so far as to change the D to an R when the parties realigned. It took that long.
Yeah, well, so last thing on that is I have a theory on what happened. I think Fox News killed the Democratic Party in the South. And so Because it's in the culture, right? And so a lot of people were, just like you said, used to voting Democrat. Did you know that in West Virginia, they did not have a Republican represent them statewide from like, I forget the exact date now, like the 1930s or something like that, to 2011. And now Trump won that state by an overwhelming margin, okay? An over 40-point victory in West Virginia. And so it swung wildly, and it went from but it's the same folks. It's the same folks who were like, oh yeah, I'm a Democrat, because you know, like you said, Lincoln was a Republican. That son of a bitch freed the slaves.
I wonder. It's more nuanced than that, I think. It's like, I don't know, I've been playing a lot of Red Dead Redemption, also been up since 4. And there's this one mission in Red Dead Redemption, I'm not spoiling anything, where you like go up into the hills and there's this isolated like family, and they speak this weird dialect that's vaguely reminiscent of the way people talk in the West, but it's been so isolated that it's got its own way of talking. And that might just be West Virginia, where they're just like, and yeah, I can see that it takes like a Fox News to be like, okay, cool, you still have cable? But a lot of people don't have cable, and it takes things. And that's why you see weird things like Joe Manchin, which there's a personal vote that pulls it along. And there's people who've been able to survive their own way for a while based on just going with their instinct and flocking to what they think works. And it can't work forever, but it can work for a long time. And how does that translate to how the rest of the country speaks English, you know, or speaks the language of politics? It doesn't necessarily match up, but it does to certain people in West Virginia who like their Democrats to take guns and shoot through phone books or whatever the hell he did.
I think it was the Obamacare that he
shot. Obamacare, like that. Was it Obamacare? Because he does want pre-existing condition coverage.
Yeah.
I forget what it was, but that kind of
weird stuff.
It might
have been a different law. I know somebody shot through Obamacare, but it might not have been Manchin. He might have shot through a different Obama law.
He shot through something.
Definitely it was an Obama law, no question.
Probably a gun control thing. Before we go, we had an amazing thing, a second annual Oh My God, He's Still in Power Hour this weekend. We made a video of 60 songs with little Trump clips in the middle. Each one's a minute. We got a keg. We drank a shot of beer between each one. We had an opening video, an end video. It was a lot of fun. And I think everyone should have one every year. Oh my God, He's Still in Power Hour. We also called it the Powerhouse House Power Hour because we took control of the house. Still recovering from it. But so
where is that? Where can people see it?
I might upload the intro and outro videos with me and my wife. We did an intro video where she was Donald Trump and I was Stormy Daniels. On my Instagram, I showed some behind the scenes. I'll try to break that out. I want to upload an official Power Hour that we do with music we won't get sued for. So I'll work on that. But it's a lot of fun.
All right, Brett's gonna work on not getting a suit, okay? So you have that to look forward to. We are out of time, but everybody enjoy some of the blue wave that you did not hear about, okay? All right, rock and roll, we'll see you tomorrow.